You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Grecian's Gossip. Joining me, Jack Ball, today is podcast regulars Jamie Hawkins and Daniel Clark. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Gab.
So we're now five games into the season. Exeter City is still unbeaten. This management lark seems to be pretty easy for Matt Taylor, doesn't it?
I don't think anyone could have predicted it to have gone as well as it has so far, to be unbeaten, to have beaten a championship team in the League Cup. It's been a very promising and bright start. You know, obviously there was a lot of uncertainty with a new manager, someone who's, you know, it's his first job in management, but he's done as well as anyone could have, you know, hoped for. And obviously Taylor's been quick to play it all down, as, you know, I guess he rightly should. I think after the Newport game, when we drew, it was the first points we dropped this season, he was like, you know, sort of a reality check was needed, because people were already talking about promotion, you know, winning the title. And he just said it was getting a bit ridiculous, really, that three games into the season you're talking about, you know, the end of the season already. So obviously he's keeping his feet firmly on the ground, as the players are, but inside he must be absolutely delighted with how it's gone. I don't think he could have imagined it to have gone this well, really.
It's sort of followed on from pre-season as well, hasn't it, Daniel? I mean, they did well in pre-season, ending in that good win against Bristol Rovers, and it's just carried on from there.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it seems to be gone almost too well so far at this stage. You know, I mean, I suppose in one hand, you know, you've got to look at, they haven't, you know, the sides they've played so far this season, you know, it's kind of the kind of start you'd have actually been asking for if you could, because obviously the four sides played in the league, I don't think anyone really thinks that any of those will be, you know, contending for promotion at the end of the season. So it's kind of a softish start to the season against sides who are probably going to be bottom half of the table, but you've obviously got to go out and win those games. And, you know, it seems to, you know, it's been quite impressive. You know, the results have been good. I mean, some of the performances not necessarily been up brilliant, but they've been grinding. You know, I think by all accounts, we'll come on to the Cambridge game. It didn't sound like they played particularly well, but they ground out a good 2-0, fairly comfortable win in the end away from home. So, you know, it's all going, you know, obviously it's not had too many difficult challenges with, you know, players being injured or suspended, or, you know, how they react after, you know, a poor set of results yet. But, you know, so far so good for Matt Taylor. And I think if you'd ask anyone at this stage of the season, you know, four, five games, four wins and a draw, I think everyone would have taken that, because, you know, it's almost, you know, as good as you could possibly hope for, really.
And people say you shouldn't look at the table until 10 games in, but still, you know, top of the table after four league matches.
If you're top of the table, you look at the table's first game of the season.
You've got to enjoy it, haven't you, while it's there? And obviously, I mean, you mentioned the fact that it's not been the hardest of starts, but Newport County have got some good results this season so far. And, you know, like you said, you've got to beat those teams. But that game finished 1-1 last Saturday. Jamie Stockley netted in the 21st minute. And then Mark Harris got an 81st minute equaliser. Jamie, not the best of games by all accounts, but still a point to show for it. And that's the main thing, picking up points when you're perhaps not playing at your best.
Yeah, it wasn't the most, how to put this, best quality of games. And I don't think anyone expected it to be a great game. Matt Taylor said, you know, they were going to be a tough physical side, and they proved exactly that. The first half was quite a game of a bit of hoofball going on between both sides. It was very scrappy and cagey. And, you know, Exeter took the lead. It was a bit of a clever work to free kick, questionable defending from Newport. You know, it was a bit of a low free kick from Jake Taylor, and Stockley just bolted it on, completely unmarked. And, you know, Newport didn't really get going until the second half, and then they got that equaliser, and if anyone was going to win, it was going to be Newport. Exeter was sort of hanging on for you know, the last sort of 10 minutes. But, yeah, I think it is a good point, because, like I said, Newport have made a really good start. They went into that one having beaten Cambridge 4-1 in the Cup prior to that, so they're obviously full of confidence and on a high. You know, and I think it does show a lot of character if you don't play that well, play at your best, but still manage to get a result. They did have chances, of course. You know, Stockley had a header just before their equaliser, which was somehow kept out. And, you know, Nicky Law hit the bar after coming on as well. So did have their chances, and obviously left to ruin them. But there were still a lot of positives to come out of the game. Defence, apart from, you know, it's a bit of a mistake from Dean Moxey and Troy Brown for their goal, but defence looked pretty solid with Brown and Aaron Martin forming a good partnership. A lot of, you know, options on the bench with, you know, sort of like Matt Jay coming on. You know, he can add that pace and quality. Nicolau coming on, obviously had a bit of a knock at Morecambe, but he looks to be back in full fitness now. So yeah, still unbeaten, you've got to take that. Newport, we've got a pretty poor record against Newport after Saturday. We've only won 2 out of the last 7 games between them. So it'll be a bigger test to come, but yeah, it's still a good point, and it just keeps the run going.
That's it, keeps the momentum going. And of course, Daniel, Julian Stockley netted again. There are so many teams that can have a good defence, but, you know, lacking that real quality striker up front, and Jaden Stockley seems to be that. Does that add to the sort of confidence when you're playing games, when extra playing games? Do fans relax a bit more knowing that he's got that potential, even if you're not playing well?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps knowing you've got someone who is going to get you 20 goals a season. You know, he's, you know, sort of this season, he's got 3 this season already, and should have had about 5 on the opening day and didn't score on that day. So he's sort of, you kind of feel, you know, if Stockley stays fit and stays with, you know, no one comes in for him either now or, you know, in January, he's probably going to get 20 goals minimum this season. So it gives you, you know, sort of a knowledge that someone is going to score you enough goals that will, you know, firstly will mean that, you know, no matter how badly the season goes, if you've got a man scoring 20-25 goals a season, you're not going to go down. And also, you know, if you're playing well, it's just going to get you goals and win you games. And, you know, Stockley seems to be enjoying his football. He's, you know, seems to be getting these goals. It's, you know, last season, you know, perhaps questions, could he do it again? But he started on fire, so you sort of feel that 25 goals a season is going to be the norm rather than the exception. And, you know, if you've got strikers who are, you know, taking their chances, then it's, you can almost afford to, you know, maybe be, you know, occasionally be a little bit more defensive, or, you know, shut up shop a little bit and keep things a little bit tighter, knowing that you don't need to create, you know, 20 chances a game to score. You know, if you can get a couple of good crosses into the box and Stockley get his head on them, you know, ideally put them straight in the back of the net rather than going through the keeper's hands as it did against Cambridge, but they all count, and he'll claim that one.
As long as it's bulging in the back of the net, they'll be happy, I'm sure. How have the other strikers sort of complimented him? You've obviously got Tristan Abrahams, Matt Jay, and of course Jonathan Fort. So how have they sort of worked with Jaden?
Yeah, they've all, the ones you mentioned, they've all got a lot of pace. I think Daniel and a few others, myself included, surprised at how quick he was, Jonathan Fort. We didn't really see that at Notts County, but, you know, he's formed a good partnership with Stockley. They started together against Newport, and it seemed to work well because Stockley would often get the ball quite deep and sort of, you know, play it up to Fort, a long ball up to Fort, and he would just run and he sort of terrorise the Newport defence, and he was unlucky not to get any, you know, goals in that game. But he's such a good runner of the ball. He got, you know, a goal at Cambridge, bit of a poacher's goal, like Daniel said, a bit of a howler, but they all count. So yeah, it's really important that Stockley isn't the only one providing the goals. I think that was the sort of worry last season, that Stockley scores, but other than that, you're sort of scratching your head as to who's going to get, I don't know, 10, 15 goals a season, and Fort looks like that sort of player. Because, you know, I think we said last season, Stockley often was left so isolated up front, no one within a few yards of him, whereas you've got Fort making those own runs. Abrahams and Jay as well, he'll run onto his flick-ons and headers. So that's really important. And, you know, I spoke to Jaden Stockley after the Newport game, and he just says it's so much better to have someone up front with him to make those runs, because otherwise he wins the ball and he's got no one to pass it to, and by the time he's thought about where the ball's going to go, he's lost it.
And you see the strikers that play up front on their own, they're isolated, they're just bullied by two centre-backs, and there's not much they can really do, and you can imagine them getting frustrated in that sort of situation.
Yeah, and I think we've seen it from Stockley a few times. He does get frustrated quite easily. Things aren't sort of going his way if he's not getting the service. But he doesn't seem to have shown that so far this season. So, I think Fort will be a really important player for Exeter. He definitely seems to sort of that will get, you know, a few goals.
As I say, it must be quite encouraging that Matt Taylor sort of picked that out, even in pre-season. I remember one of the first interviews that I saw him do after Tisdale left was him saying he wants to sign a few strikers. That was top of his agenda. He sort of seems to have known where the problems were from last season and has added to that this year.
Obviously, you know, obviously last season Stockley was the main man, scored all those goals, but you sort of looked at the other, you know, the other striking options, and they're all sort of similar kind of players, you know, Robbie Simpson, Ryan Brunt. They're sort of both, you know, sort of physical target men kind of players. And what the club really lacked last season was any kind of pace going forward in attack, because, you know, particularly after Stockley up on his own, then on the wings you had sort of Lee Holmes or Ryan Harley. They've got their qualities, but they're not sprinters. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to run in behind you and beat defenders that way. So they needed to get some pace into the attack, and so you thought it was very quick. Abrahams, you know, again, lightning fast in behind, and seems to actually be, we obviously knew he was quick, but he seems to actually be better at holding the ball up and sort of bringing other players into to play and using his physicality than perhaps anyone expected him to. And that was really impressive against Ipswich when he used that. So obviously they've got, pace to run in behind. Obviously Lee Martin again sort of played in more of a wide role, but could play as a second striker as well. He's got the pace to run at defenders, so it allows you to, have to play different options, and sort of, you can hit balls over the top, knowing that actually you've got somebody who's going to run on and might be able to get on the end of it. So,
and not just that, I mean, in the second half, if you've got pacey players that can tire out the opposition defence, it's in those last 15, 20 minutes where they're starting to really get a bit tired out that you can really take advantage of that as the season goes on.
Yeah, that's when sort of Tristan Abrahams has sort of come on the last 15 minutes.
It's probably the last thing the opposition defenders want to see.
Yeah, he's so quick. I mean, when he came on against Carlisle, the pace was just unreal, chasing every single ball, chasing defenders down. And like you said, you've got there's a lot of experienced defenders in League Two, sort of, in their 30s plus, in their, the latter stages of their career. So the last thing they want is a quick teenager to come on and give them the runaround. But it's just an ideal player to have to come on.
And if you've got pace up front, you can, and you're defending a lead in particular, you can sit back a little bit more. You can, maybe stick an extra man back in defence or midfield, just to try and close out games, knowing that when you do clear the ball, you've actually got someone up there who can run after it and chase and get in behind and hit teams on the counter-attack, which last season City didn't really have in that, that kind of player who could, get you out of defence and get you up the pitch, from one end of the pitch to the other end pretty quickly. But now this season, they've got plenty of options. The ones we've mentioned, obviously, the likes of Archie Collins and Jack Sparks, the youngsters, again, similar kind of players who can get the ball and will run with it and can run past defenders.
So and having those different options must be harder for the opposition to plan against, because if you've just got one target man, they know you're just going to hoof it up to him every single time.
Yeah.
That must be much easier to defend against than if you've got different options in your team.
And you've still got the option to hit it long to Stockley, and he seems to be winning his fair, still wins his fair share of headers. But this time, if he's winning headers and he's flicking it on, there's actually someone running in behind and who's getting on the end of it. So you can play in defeat, or you can still go long, knowing that you've actually got two options. You can either win the header or you can just chase after it. So they look to be, perhaps a more cohesive unit going forward, or have more options as to how they could possibly score goals this season than they did last season. Whether it's going to, the more attacking style of play potentially could see them concede more goals and be a little bit weaker defensively. But so far it hasn't really shown. I mean, then it's five games and conceded three goals in that, and one is an absolute howler from Christy Pym that will never happen again. And against Newport, they never looked like conceding until Troy Brown and Dean Moxey both make an error that you'll make maybe once, twice a season, but they made in the same move, which led to the goal there. So actually, there's a few fears that they might be a little bit too open at the back, but it's not being shown on the pitch so far. And they've got a very good defensive record so far, so it all seems to be, you know, working at both ends of the pitches so far.
And as we say, we followed the 1-1 draw with Newport with a 2-0 win away at Cambridge, both Stockley and Jonathan Fort getting on the score sheet. It was obviously important to bounce back for Newport, but 10 points from a possible 12, is that more than anyone really expected at this stage?
Probably. I mean, like I said, there was so much uncertainty. No one knew what was going to happen, like that first game against Carlisle. No one knew how the team were going to play. A lot of new signings. Were they going to work and gel together? But they look like they've been playing together for months. And look, I think if you asked Matt Taylor at the start of the season, would he have taken 10 points from the first 12, we would have snatched our hand off, I think. As Daniel said, perhaps the teams haven't been on paper too challenging. I don't think any of the teams that we've played will be sort of up there at the end of the season. Newport, perhaps, you know, they've been pretty solid the last sort of few years. Just looking ahead to September, it's going to be such a tough month. You've got MK Dons on Saturday, Lincoln the following Saturday at home, who are unbeaten still, and I think
then it's Notts County, who
should be up there.
But if you lose 4-0 at home to Yeovil, that's a worry. Yeah.
And then there's another one, Mansfield, is it?
I think it's just going to be such a tough month.
And I think, like Taylor said a couple of weeks ago, he's still waiting, you know, to be really tested. You know, when Exeter go a goal behind, which they haven't been behind in the league this season, when they do go behind, you know, how do they respond? How do they adapt? Does he change formation? You know, key substitutes. So it's going to be such an interesting month, a challenging one. I think that will be when we can start judging Taylor as a manager to see, you know, what, you know, he can do when they really get tested. Because like I said, in the league, it hasn't really happened against Ipswich in the cup when they go behind, and he made some bold decisions with substitutes, taking senior players off for youngsters, and it paid off. But that's completely different competition, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see what happens the next few weeks, definitely.
But the biggest game possibly of the season so far to come is on Saturday for many different reasons. Obviously, it's Paul Tisdale's MK Dons, or MK Grecians, as some people have labelled them in the last weeks, for some obvious reasons. First of all, we just take away the points from the situation and just focus on Tisdale and some of the players and the staff that have all joined MK Dons. Is this game very personal for City fans? Is there a lot riding on this in terms of pride?
I think that there is probably more than it realistically should be, because it is still just a League Two fixture. But sort of, I think there's a lot of, you know, City fans, particularly ones who have sort of been anti-Tisdale for a year or two, and, you know, called for him to leave long before he actually did, who would love to be proven right, in a sense of, you know, if you go there and win the game, and, you know, playing some thrilling attacking football and win comfortably, sort of, you know, saying this is what we've been saying all along, we should have got rid of him ages ago. And then, you know, there'll be others who, you know, perhaps saying that, you know, Paul Tisdale did a fantastic job, and, you know, and we should never have got rid of him. And their views would perhaps be, you know, amplified if MK Dons do win on Saturday. So I think there's a definite split in the City camp in terms of sort of what people's opinions of Tisdale are and what they, you know, perceive it would be. And I think, irrespective of what the result is, there's going to still be those arguments aren't going to go away as to whether he should still be the manager now or whether he should have gone 2 years ago. But obviously, particularly, you know, having obviously made the decision to go, and then signed the captain on and then rotating, you know, Ryan Harley as well, and Robbie Simpson, and then Steve Perryman moving, you know, to MK Dons after his short-lived retirement. It's sort of, you know, there's an L, it sort of just feels, obviously, you know, Paul Tisdale's perfectly entitled to sign whichever players he likes, as long as clubs accept offers for them.
Yeah.
But it sort of feels like he's just gone in, you know, for some fans, he's gone in and just okay, well, you not only you didn't get up with you, I'm just going to steal some of your best players now as well. And it's sort, you know, there's an element of, you know, could have looked anywhere else for signings, but it's gone to City. But as we've seen over the years, that, you know, Paul Tisdale's transfer strategy a lot of the time did appear to be sign players you've previously had at clubs.
So
he's used to working with players, so, you know, it's not entirely surprising that he, you know, likes some more Taylor and Ryan Harley, that he was, you know, always going to be interested
And you know, he knows what he's going to get with them, doesn't he? I suppose that's the one thing. But I mean, from some of the reaction that I saw, it was Steve Perryman thing almost seemed to be the straw that broke some of the camel's back for some people. It's still very raw. I mean, it's still only what, a month. This has all been going on for a month, just a month and a half. How do you feel going into the game?
I mean, it's going to be such a fascinating game. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, but it'll just be so interesting to see what the atmosphere and the awareness, like Daniel said, it'll be split. I think it'll be split at sort of 50-50. Given the way the reaction has been sort of this season from Exeter fans at home games, you know, some of the chants that have been said, can't really repeat them on here, but obviously, you know, they're fully behind Matt Taylor and quick to forget sort of Tisdale, which, you know, having been manager for 12 years, it's hard to sort of just forget and move on. But then in another way, it's a new era, as you know, the two words that have been sort of used most perhaps for Exeter: new era, new manager, new dawn. So yeah, I don't know, I think a lot of Exeter fans, you know, when the fixtures came out, MK Dons was the first one everyone was looking for. Obviously don't really have a derby this season, so yeah, it's going to be interesting because obviously they haven't really had this for a long time where a former manager has gone on to somewhere else and come up against them.
The big generation fans have never gone through that before.
No, exactly, yeah. I think the previous one, Alex Inglethorpe left for Tottenham, didn't he? But obviously we never would have come up against him because he was a sort of a youth coach or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, vaguely when he played Liverpool, he was sort of involved with their youth setup, yeah. And they essentially had a youth team out in the cup, but it's not quite the same. He wasn't actually the manager, so...
But do you think any of this Tisdale, former player, former staff sort of stuff, can it act as a distraction, or do you think Matt Taylor will very much have his players' heads down? It's just another 3 points.
That's the way he's got to be thinking about it. You've got to be sort of just thinking, this is you're playing MK Dons, and it doesn't matter who the manager is, because who the players are, you know, because it can become, you know, as you said, a distraction. You're sort of thinking, you know, they'll be looking around, sort of thinking, well, what, you know, obviously the Mr. Pleasant, no Paul Tisdale, sort of how do you react to him when you see him in the tunnel, and, you know, sort of looking around and sort of finding out what are the fans thinking about this. You've almost just got to completely forget about the ex-player and ex-manager connection and just treat it as a normal game of football. You know, MK Dons, you know, it's going to be a tough game anyway because, you know, they've come down from last season. They've got one of the biggest budgets, if not the biggest, in the league. Obviously playing, it's a massive stadium that they're playing in. One, you know, probably going to be the biggest stadium we play in this season in the league. It's not probably not going to be full, but even so, it's, you know, their stadium very different to, say, you know, Morecambe away in the, you know, the style of ground it is. So it's a game that, you know, you're probably looking at, you know, you into it, you know, MK Dons have got a good side anyway, and you're sort of thinking actually a draw is probably a good result.
I was going to say,
if you come away from it, you know, you take the Tisdale and factor out completely. If you go away to MK Dons and draw the game, I don't think there'll be too many people who'll be disappointed that you've not won that game, because, you know, it's going to be a tough game. They've got, you know, a side that perhaps will be on paper is, you know, as good as City's, if not better. And, you know, it's that, you know, that would be, you know, a result I think you'd be, you know, a look pretty much everyone would take if you offered it before the game.
And you were saying earlier on about the start hasn't been the toughest. So would you say this is the first real tough test in the league for Taylor?
I think so, yeah. Because, you know, MK Dons, I think, the start of the season were, you know, bookies, you know, one of the bookies' favourites to get that one of those three automatic promotion spots. So you'd think that, you know, they're obviously more fancied than Exeter, I think, you know. So you've got to be looking, this is, you know, a tough game against the side who people think are going to be up there at the end of the season. Obviously they're unbeaten still in the league as well, so, you know, they're obviously a couple of draws and two wins, and obviously a win in the cup against higher league opposition as well, so they've had a good start to the season as well. You know, they'll be perhaps disappointed, couldn't win last night.
Yeah,
you know, against 10 men for a large period of the game, but, you know, so they might be wanting to bounce back from a couple of disappointing draws. But I think it is the toughest game that, you know, they've played so far in the league this season. You know, MK Dons, I think most people would probably suspect they will be in the playoffs at the end of the season. You know, it's where Exeter should hopefully be looking for as well. So, you know, it's the kind of game that sort of, you know, perhaps just sort of gives you more of an idea as to just how good your side is, and, you know, whether you can be looking at playoffs, automatic promotion. How far up the table, you know, realistically, you know, should be a target, and you know, what's a good season, what's a bad season, because you know they are the toughest side I think City have played this season, and I think they will finish ahead of any of the four sides they've played so far.
And just finally on the MK Dons game before we move on, in terms of the former players, how what sort of reaction do you think they get? Especially obviously there was an issue with the contract about someone going for free.
Mm.
What sort of reaction do you think they'll get from City fans?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Jordan Will Taylor's one referring to that. Yeah. Obviously, there's a clause in his contract. If he didn't get promoted, then he could leave on a free.
Which isn't his fault, to be fair.
No. Yeah, obviously, he signed it earlier in the season.
I suppose if he didn't sign, you know, he wasn't going to sign a deal without that clause in anyway. Yeah. So if you don't put that clause in his contract, he's not a City player at the moment anyways.
Mm. I mean, that's frustrating because, you know, he's such a good player and you thought we would have got decent fee for him, probably like a six-figure sum at least.
Do you imagine fans with a negative reaction towards him when he gets the ball? You know, will there be a lot of boos? Or
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I mean, that's just the nature of football fans, isn't
panto,
it? When a former player comes up against your side, you're always going to get a reaction, as will Hardy probably. Be interested to see if any of them score as well. Obviously, Roy Simpson, he was a bit of a fan favourite amongst Exeter fans. He probably won't get booed as much.
He was released by City anyway, so yeah. You know, it's not like, you know, yeah, it wasn't a signing. He was a free transfer, so he's perfect. You know, that one would be, if any of them, you know, he's the least likely to get booed. Yeah. You'd think purely on the grounds that he wasn't a City player when he signed for MK Dons.
There will be some bitterness, I think.
But it'll be interesting to see, because you know, they might well very be up for this game as well. You know, it'll be a fascinating encounter, won't it? That's for sure.
See, Robbie Simpson's already got two goals this season, so
which is more than he got in his time.
Yeah, missing. We're finally seeing the best of him once he's left the club.
So you, a nightmare for Exeter fans to be if he nets a late winner on Saturday.
Yeah, horrible.
So finally, obviously, we can't forget there's a League Cup second round game to look forward to for City fans against Premier League side Fulham, a night at Craven Cottage. Jamie, you're going.
Mm.
Are you excited?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's one of the best draws I could have got, really. A Premier League team away from home. I think Fulham are such a... I don't know, they're liked by everyone. Everyone just likes Fulham, don't they? Because of their ground. It's nice. I haven't been, it would be the first time I've been to Craven Cottage, but a nice sort of small Premier League ground right in the centre of London on the Thames. Get the ferry there as well, which sounds fun. It'll just be a great experience, a great occasion for fans. It'll be another ground that a lot of people have, you know, be able to tick off. Exeter have quite a good following in London as well, so I imagine there'll be quite a few making the trip there. I know it's a Tuesday night and it's such short notice, so it's difficult to get time of work, but £10 for tickets as well, brilliant gesture from a Premier League club.
And these games don't come around that often, really, do they?
No, absolutely. And, you know, they just enjoy the night. I'm sure Matt Taylor will just make the point, just enjoy it, forget the result, just go out there and enjoy it. You know, these, like I said, these days don't come around often. But, you know, given how well they did against Ipswich, knocking out a team two leagues above them, anything can happen. I expect Fulham to make a lot of changes, given that, you know, they'll be playing on the Sunday as well, so a two-day turnaround, probably make 11 changes from that game. But, you know, they've got such a strong squad, so you think there'll be a good, you know, a few notable faces in that Fulham team. Yeah, it would just be a great occasion, and, one that, you know, everyone will enjoy.
That's the thing, you know, you see some of these Championship and Premier League teams that play in these early rounds in the Cups, and they say, well, they make eight changes, but those eight changes are still multi-million pound signings, half of them, that will get into any League 1 or League 2 team. So do you envisage that being a benefit to Exeter if they do make changes?
I think it might necessarily, you know, it's always, if you're playing against a second string side, they're not, you know, going to be quite as strong as their, you know, their first team, you know, their very best players. Mm. But on the other hand, Fulham made so many signings over the summer that essentially 11 changes will be similar kind of side to the side that got up through the Championship playoffs last season. So it's not like they've got, you know, a weak squad. In, you know, maybe, you know, Premier League wise, it's not top level. It's, you know, there's a, you know, they haven't had the best start to the season, but, you know, in terms of, you know, it's still a massive step up, and you know, you'd sort of, you know, anyone who, you know, any one of the 11 players I think Fulham will put out on that day, you know, would walk into Exeter City's side. So you kind of feel that irrespective of what side they put out, it should be strong enough for them to get the win. I mean, potentially, depending on how things go, you know, on Sunday for them, if they lose that game, then that could be three defeats in a row, and you sort of feel the manager, you know, obviously it's early days, he might just want to get a win under his for the season and just play a slightly stronger side. You never know, but, you know, they should, you know, even if it's just to get 2-0 up at half time and then take rest a couple of players off. But, you know, Fulham will definitely, I think, be fully expecting to win that game, and I think most Exeter fans realistically will be expecting to lose that game.
It's just got to enjoy the occasion, really.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, you know, particularly, I suppose if Exeter avoid defeat on Saturday at MK Dons, it might not be the worst game for Matt Taylor to have as a first defeat in charge. You know, sort of, it's a game you're expected to lose. It's not one that's, you know, it's the League Cup rather than the league, which, you know, the best will in the world, City aren't going to win the League Cup. So it could be you never want to lose any game, but if you're going to be a first loss, it's not the worst one.
It's almost like a free pass, isn't
to
it?
Have as a, yeah, because, you know, you expected to lose. Yeah. So, you know, you can just sort of forget about it and go back to the league, you know, next week, knowing, you know, you've won a round, you've given, you know, as long as it's, you know, doesn't turn into sort of a 5-6 goal defeat and then can get a little bit embarrassing and anything like that. But even, you know, you can hold, you know, if you can sort of just, you know, give a good account of yourselves, ideally score one goal if you can, you know, sort of, you know, keep the game as close and as tight as you can for a long time. And you just never know in these kind of cup ties how, you know, it happens on the day. You know, I think Fulham have not got a great record in cups recently. I don't think their boss has taken them massively seriously, so you never know what could happen. But I think, you know, you've got to go into it expecting that, you know, Fulham will win the game.
And like you said, anything could happen. You know, their keeper could be sent off after 2 minutes for making a lunging tackle. You never know on the day what could happen. But even the replacements that do come in that maybe haven't been playing, that's going to be their chance to stake a claim for first team football. They're not going to take it lightly either.
No, they shouldn't. You know, there's a lot of potential in the squad as well. I'd be interested to see the sort of team Matt Taylor plays as well. So we'll see, it'll be a relatively quick turnaround for them as well. But, you know, the youngsters impress, you know, with Jack Sparks and Archie Collins against Ipswich. So maybe he'll give them some minutes, as they probably deserve. But it's good that, you know, Exeter's such a strong squad this season, the strongest squad as I've seen for a very long time. So whoever they, you know, put out, you know, it would be a strong team. It wouldn't be, you know, in recent years we've seen in cup games, it would just be 11 youngsters.
Yeah.
Never played together, but they've got that mix of experience now. You know, a lot of experienced players that struggle to get into the first team. Like, you know, Luke Crowell hasn't played a single minute of the season. So yeah, it'll be a good mix of youth and experience, which is important, obviously, to get, you know, minutes under their belt. And yeah, obviously Matt Taylor will go into that game with no fear, as he should. And who knows? It's a cup game. Anything can happen.
I'm sure the Exeter fans will be well up. Sorry, the Exeter players will be well up for it as well. You know, it's a chance to play on a very big stage, isn't it? So, right, that's all we've got time for now. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week to reflect on two very big games for City in MK Dons and Fulham, and look ahead to another tough game against Lincoln, who are one of the favourites as well. Thanks for joining us.